Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
David Cobb is a college basketball and college football writer for CBS Sports. He's on X at David W. Cobb, and he joins me now via the phone line. David, how you doing, brother?
Hey, good, man. I just got back from a very discouraging trip to Books a Million. Gabe, I really thought they were going to have App on, and I thought Lindy's might be there too. I knew Phil Steele wasn't going to be there yet. I knew that, but I thought I might get my Athlon and my Lindy's, and they didn't have either one.
You left empty-handed. Empty-handed.
I walked in, walked to the back, went, looked at the magazine aisle. I even looked behind like the WNBA preview magazines, like just making sure they weren't lost or something. And I couldn't find them. And then I turned around and I walked out. And I was very disappointed. So now I'm at home just sort of rage buying online. But I wanted them now. I wanted them today. I don't want to wait 7 to 10 days to get
them. I was going to say, you're probably one of the rare people that still goes into a bookstore. Got to love it.
I mean, Gabe, I'm a child of I'm a millennial. You know what I mean? But, like, I'm kind of an old soul. So, you know, that's the way I like to do it. I like the paper. I like the way it smells. I like to hold it in my hands. I mean, the smell of those college football preview magazines is unmatched.
Yeah, and Connor's looking at me. I guess he's a bookstore goer.
I was in a bookstore this past Sunday.
Okay. We novel?
Yes.
Shout out.
And it was packed.
What was going on?
People just love books, man.
Nice. Nice. Smart. I think the key
smart
to being smart is books, right? Isn't that what it is?
You think you're hot ass because you know words.
The key to smart is books.
Yes.
All right. But know what you can do. In the meantime, while you're waiting for those magazines and those previews, you can look at the ESPN Football Power Index that published 13 SEC teams in the Football Power Index, according to ESPN. How do you feel about that? Little overblown, a little overdone? Because I feel that way.
Get out of here with that. I mean, first off, that metric is not – I don't think it's very well regarded. I mean, ESPN does a lot of things well. They do a lot of things not well. And the ranking college teams in both football and basketball is not one of their strengths. It's just not. They're just not great at it. And then it's like when you realize, too, how much of their business is the SEC, it's like, man,
sure.
why are we surprised that they've loaded them up? And I get it. Like, the SEC is this really strong football conference. But at the same time, I mean, it's the Big Ten that has won the last two football national titles. So – yeah, I don't know. Like, I feel like the SEC's got a lot to prove this year, and I feel like they're a little bit overvalued in this ESPN FPI.
Let me go ahead and go through my immediate problems. Auburn at 14 between – so it goes LSU, Ole Miss, then Auburn at 14, then South Carolina. Auburn, I guess the idea behind that is they've done well in the transfer portal, and Hugh Freeze, he's ready to break through, and Jackson Arnold's at quarterback. But here's my big issue. And I think a lot of this comes with Jackson Arnold, former five-star. They take recruiting rankings into consideration, all that. What makes us think that Jackson Arnold, who played in the SEC last year and won six games, and got replaced by Michael Hawkins, to be clear, what makes us think he's going to go to Auburn and immediately turn that around and make something happen? I guess he's older, he's a little more experienced, and maybe in a better situation offensively with Hugh Freeze, who's done well with quarterbacks in the past. Like, I get all of that. But I watched him last year, and you can't take that away from me.
No, I agree 100%. The fact that Auburn is ranked 14th in this FPI when we have Hugh Freeze on record two weeks ago saying, well, we really need to make a bowl game this year. I mean, what? I mean, there's such a disconnect there. You can make a bowl game and be the 60th best team in college football, and yet here we are looking at him at number 14, ahead of Ole Miss, ahead of LSU, not ahead of Ole Miss, but right behind Ole Miss, ahead of South Carolina, ahead of Oklahoma, Michigan, Florida. I mean, I'm with you, man. Like, Jackson Arnold has a ton to prove. To me, he ends up at Auburn sort of as a castaway of sorts after, yeah, you mentioned it, getting beat out by a true freshman last season, and Michael Hawkins, who was a three-star prospect. I mean, Jackson Arnold was supposed to be one of this generation's great quarterbacks. Instead, he's kind of become one of this generation's sort of sob stories. And so rarely do we see these players transfer elsewhere and then suddenly live up to the hype. That there's a reason they got beat out at their first job. And so, I mean, the one thing that Jackson Arnold does have working for him is that Auburn, it feels like, finally has a quality receiving room, when for so long that was not the case. But man, I don't get it. Auburn has so much to prove. And 14, regardless of whether it's a true ranking or whether it's a power,
it's computers,
or whatever you
want
to call it. I mean, it just feels high. It just does.
Now Oklahoma at 16. I think there's a lot of people high on Oklahoma, although their schedule is going to be tough. They're in the SEC now. Didn't manage it well last year. But I get, like, John Mateer, Jaden Ott. John Mateer comes from Washington State. He's a guy that people think can really be sort of that dark horse Heisman candidate if everything goes right for Oklahoma. But my problem is, with him being a dark horse, it's like everybody has him as the dark horse. Are you a dark horse at that point? That's a different discussion for a different day. Jaden Ott from Cal ran for 1,300 yards 2 years ago. I think offensively they're going to be much better. They bring in Ben Arbuckle at OC. They could get that offense going. Now, I have this question, though. With John Mateer, Are we going a little too hard with thinking John Mateer is going to step into the SEC and be the same player he was at Washington State? Because I think the obvious point here is San Jose State's no longer on your schedule, brother. You know, you're not going to see Fresno State anymore. That's not what we're dealing with at Oklahoma. You know, an off week is against Arkansas or Mizzou, something like that. So, yeah. Like, are we going too far with the praise and the projection of John Mateer at Oklahoma?
Well, maybe, but I think he's pretty clearly an upgrade on Jackson Arnold and Michael Hawkins. I mean, this guy, you know, if you watched him play last year, he's got a little wiggle to his game, too. I think that's the thing that maybe gets understated when you talk about this guy. It's like, it's not just, he's not a statue back there. He's not all of a sudden, you know, just standing back there waiting to get crushed by these crazy athletic SEC defensive ends. He can escape the pocket, and I think that translates, right? I mean, that's going to be the same regardless of what level he's at. Now, how quickly can he process the field and make his reads, and, you know, those sorts of things are maybe what you worry about. But I still think he'll be effective because he can get out of the pocket. He can make things happen when things break down, even if he's not great at processing all the reads and fitting into that system. Like, he'll still be able to be effective. I mean, I'm not saying he's Cam Ward, but, like, I look at Cam Ward coming out of Washington State and, mm-hmm. and having a lot of success. I mean, kind of similar. I mean, Miami, Oklahoma, similar level programs. Yeah, the SEC is a little bit more difficult than the ACC. But yeah, I mean, I'm a believer in John Mateer. I definitely think Oklahoma upgraded at quarterback. Now, I mean, do I think they're a lock to make the playoffs? No, but they got to make a lot of progress this year. I mean, it's kind of do or die time for Brent Venables, who everybody thought was a slam dunk hire. I mean, that was who Oklahoma wanted. It's who they got. And the results have not been what they thought they were going to be to this point. So, I mean, it's just a huge year for OU. I mean, there's no way around it. OU, LSU, Florida. I mean, there's a lot at stake for some of these programs that are in what now? I guess all those programs are entering year four now, you know, with their coaches.
Mm-hmm. Now, final thing on the FPI, Arkansas at 22. Do you think Arkansas fans are pointing at themselves like me? We made it in the top 25 according to the FPI. What?
I love that GIF that you're referencing. It's like the kid in the sweatshirt.
It's the Drewski one too. If you're familiar with Drewski, me? You talking about me?
Yeah. Oh, it's so good. No, for sure. That's why Arkansas should be in the Big 12. They should be in the Big 12, man. Because if they were in the Big 12, they'd be projected to win that league. Actually, you know what? There's only one Big 12 team in this FPI that is ahead of Arkansas, and it's Kansas State, and they are one spot ahead. So, I mean, I know the money's nice and blah, 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 blah. Who cares, man? If you're a fan, you know what it is? More fun than making money is winning. I think Arkansas belongs in the Big 12, and I'm sorry if that offends some people, but geographically, culturally, they would crush it in that league. They'd be such a perfect fit. Yet here they are in the SEC, 22nd in the FPI, but what, like 13th or something in their own conference.
Yes.
So it's a sad state of affairs out there.
And then, sorry, I lied. That was not the last thing on the FPI. Arizona State in a particularly disgusting spot between Mizzou, who has to replace so much, and Nebraska at 25. Arizona State was in the college football playoff, gave Texas all they could handle, and they have a returning quarterback. And they're stuck between Mizzou and Nebraska. That's great. Fun. Really fun.
I get skepticism over the departure of Cam Scataboo, which,
sure.
I mean, is well warranted.
I mean,
right? Like, that guy was – he was different. He was – those guys don't come along very often. You had that guy. I mean, that Texas game, man, what he did in that game was just absurd. One of the greatest individual performances in defeat that, you know – it's certainly in a college football playoff game that I can recall, just incredible stuff. So, no, I mean, I get it. Like, if you're looking at like a power ranking or trying to stack up, like, you know, who would beat who on a neutral field according to a Vegas odds sheet or something. Like, I get why Arizona State is where they are. Like, they're a culture program, right? Like, they win on the margins. Like, their toughness and grit, and they're not always going to be, you know, highly ranked in these things that prioritize talent and five-star prospects and all those sorts of things.
Yeah, now I'm going to continue to project my big conference hate onto you because Ryan Day spoke on the reformatting the college football playoff. They're going to have to agree by December 1st. And there's two things he said, and I talked about it before you came on, that to me don't quite jive. And he's not the only individual coach or commissioner or AD or president who has these thoughts, right? I think what he's saying, before I get to it, is pragmatic, but I'll get to the other word in a second. He says, we're in the Big Ten. We have 18 teams and some of the best programs in the country. I feel like we deserve at least 4 automatic qualifiers. So I'm like, okay, good PR. You have your decision. You want 4 automatic qualifiers from the Big Ten. You guys are the biggest and the baddest. You're the best. You should get 4. Cool. I'm fine with that. But in the same conversation, he said, if you don't have those automatic qualifiers, you're less likely to play a game like we're playing this year against Texas because it just won't make sense. If we do, then you're more likely to do that because we play 9 conference games in the Big Ten. SEC doesn't, so it's not equal. So here's what I would say. Pragmatic thinking, he's not the only one. Greg Sankey had sentiments like that in the past. Kirby Smart's had sentiments like that in the past. Lane Kiffin, like, he's not the only one. So it's pragmatic thought. But I feel like I'm the only one who sits here and says it's still also cowardly because you're approaching this and you're out of conference slate and that game against Texas with like this level of fear that does not jive with your thought process when you say you're the biggest and best and we're the best conference in America. I don't think those two thoughts should exist at the same time. Do they exist at the same time? Yes. Pretty consistently when we talk about the Big Ten and the SEC. But while it's pragmatic, it's also cowardly to me. And I feel like I'm the only one who calls this out and calls a spade a spade.
No, well, I mean, I agree. Coming out of the SEC spring meetings last week, I've been saying, you know, the SEC wants to talk about how great their strength of schedule is, yet they're afraid to go to 9 conference games. If you really believe that your strength of schedule was as great as you say it is, you'd go to 9 conference games and then you'd be making the playoff. I think where the disconnect is with the college football playoff selection criteria. And until we get a firm sort of baked in formula, if it has to be mathematical, maybe it will be for how to evaluate and include strength of schedule in that selection process, like, you're going to continue to see the cowardly language from these coaches and the lack of desire to really put your money where your mouth is and go out and schedule aggressively. Because right now, Ryan Day is not wrong. There's not a ton of incentive
to go
out and schedule a potential loss if you know if that loss might cost you a playoff spot. So we got to figure out a way to quantify and then put in the strength of schedule to the college football playoff selection process. You and I have kind of talked about doing it like the basketball does the net. I mean, I don't know if that's perfect or people would like that, but it's got to be a part of the conversation. And I think it would be great for the Big Ten and the SEC if it was, because then they would do this scheduling alliance with each other. Then the SEC would go to nine games. You know what? And then, hey, maybe the Big 12 and the ACC, maybe they would feel so much pressure. They would say, wow, we're gonna play nine conference games, and then we're going to play our other three non-conference games against each other. And then, I mean, that's not great for the Group of Five, certainly not great for the FCS. But all of that would be great for the casual fan, because now you actually have a bang for your buck on your season ticket product. You're not having to go see them play UT Martin. No offense to the Skyhawks. Both my parents went to UT Martin. I love UT Martin. You know, but you don't have to go to that game anymore. It's not part of, you don't have to beg somebody to take those tickets off your hands anymore. You don't have to pay to ESPN Plus to re-authenticate your subscription five times to watch some garbage game that comes on at noon when, you know, you could be going to the pumpkin patch. So anyway, I think if we factored in strength of schedule to the college football playoff selection process, a lot of good things would then follow that. And mm-hmm. So I wish we would do that.
Yeah, but I put it this way. When you're a prize fighter and you're in the UFC, or you're a boxer and you hold all these belts, we don't give you credit for defending your title against bums. We don't do that. And I feel like too many people let that slide when it comes to college football coaches and commissioners sort of putting this language out there. And I wish more people would call a spade, but I feel like with these big conferences, and this is a different discussion altogether, but with these big conferences, whether it's Big Ten or SEC, there's a lot of people, David, so eager to hold the water, like so eager. And that's frustrating too.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, the SEC homerism is real, and it's hard to really get around that. But the problem is, you know, the SEC, just there's nothing to, like, hold their feet to the fire. There's nobody out there really.
Right. Because like, they have the bargaining chips. They have the power.
Yeah, they do. And so, but at the end of the day, I mean, I'm all for a meritocracy here where it's, mm-hmm. it's 11 at large or 16 at large. And then let the leagues kind of go whatever direction they feel like they need to go to fortify themselves. But at the same time, it's like, you know, with the SEC and the Big Ten, they're the ones who are going to make the rules on the playoff format. And I mean, here's a question that I have that I don't know the answer to. Do the SEC and the Big Ten decide what the playoff selection criteria is? I mean, to what extent are they influencing those decisions? Because, you know, I think for everybody involved, strength of schedule, if that was a larger portion of it, you know, that we'd get a better year-long product. And yeah, look, I mean, I get it. Like, it used to be that you could go undefeated in college football, and that was pretty cool, pretty special. You don't get that really in any other sport that we care about in this country. And it was something unique in college football where you could do that, and maybe that's no longer really the case in the expanded playoff. And if you're playing a really difficult schedule in the regular season, but that's okay. Like, I can make my peace with the undefeated seasons being on the outs. Like, that's all right. And then the other thing too is like, well, you know, if you play a really tough schedule week in, week out, and then you got the 16 team college football playoff, then what about these kids in their studies in their school? And that's really grueling, and that's such a grind. Well, we're about to go to 105 scholarships. So I mean, you have literally one short of double an NFL roster. Yeah. So that's not a concern. And they're getting paid now, just gobs of money. So I don't really care about the whole, like, well, you know, student athlete welfare, got to go to class sort of stuff. So, you know, just college football is just kind of, it's just always 10-15 years behind where it feels like it should be.
Yeah.
And that's certainly the case right now.
Also, can you let me in on the house settlement and what's going on there? I've been trying to follow. It's hard to follow.
No, yeah, I'm kind of with you on it. It's taken a long time to a point where if I'm an athlete who
we have rosters, you know, to put together, by the way, you know, we have to figure out what's going to happen with walk-ons, and are they going to go to 15 scholarships instead of 13 in basketball? Like, we have things to figure out.
No doubt. Paychecks are about to start, you know, they should be hitting, and they're supposed to be hitting from the revenue sharing, but the revenue sharing doesn't go into effect unless the house settlement gets passed. And yet here we are in June. Everybody thought it would be done by now, and it's still not done. So, you know, there's some hope this judge will render a final decision here pretty soon. But it hadn't happened by now. And look, this is a federal judge, right? Like, she's got other cases on the docket, whatever. Like, she's busy. She didn't care any more about this case than she cares about any other. So it's, there's a certain order and process and whatnot there that, you know what, it's college sports should not have left its fate in this position, because it's ultimately no longer up to them.
And I don't know how it works, and I don't know if there was like certain things within a contract, but I would imagine some of the new recruits and the transfer portal guys that ended up at schools, they were promised some level of revenue sharing and some money from that. So if this doesn't pass by the time we get to the season and they're supposed to be paid those wages, I wonder if there's something on the table with more litigation because it's not getting done in a timely manner.
Oh, just total mutiny, total chaos. If this settlement doesn't get implemented and does not pass, because it's the vehicle and the mechanism through which all of these players are going to receive the money that they've been promised. I mean, if I were promised a specific dollar figure, and then something hit my bank account that was a fraction of that, or nothing hit my bank account at all, you know what? I'd probably stop showing up to work.
Right.
Just being honest.
Right.
You know, and I get it. We all want these guys to play for the love of State U, and for the guy next to them. And I'm not saying that they don't. And I'm not saying that the uniform and the helmet and the logo and all that doesn't mean something to these guys. You know, I think it still does, even though they're getting paid. But at the end of the day, if you're not getting paid, then what are we doing?
And so, it does beg. Sorry, go ahead. I apologize.
No, I don't want to be alarmist about it, but if the settlement doesn't go through, then we could be in for, I mean, honestly, we could be in for a college football strike.
I think a labor stoppage. That's what I was going to say. Like, we're very open for that right now. I mean, that's what very well could happen if these things don't get figured out here very, very soon. But I do want to say I'm glad with Ryan Day. I'll give him a bit of credit for his big talk today, because he did talk about the house settlement. He was asked about it, and I'm glad he's worried about the right things. He talked about the roster size going from 120 to 105, and he referenced, "Oh, I'm scared about my depth from going 120 to 105, David. He's scared about the depth on his team and injuries. Yeah, you're going to play 105 guys this year. Yeah, we buy that. Good Lord.
As if guys 106 through 120 ever played at Ohio State. And even still, I mean, guys 76 through 85 typically, you know.
What are we going to do without our third string long snapper and our backup holder? I can't imagine. Jeez.
It's preposterous. And now, but the reality is you got 20 more guys on scholarship now. So you should be able to get better quality in that depth, because in the past, maybe those guys would have gone to FCS or a G5 option or what have you, but now it's like, all right, well, I'm getting a scholarship, so I'm going to go to Ohio State instead of going to Bowling Green or what have you. So I think it should do the opposite of what Ryan Day is saying. I think it should improve the depth. Now, I mean, hey, look, maybe in practice, if you want to go threes versus threes, like maybe it's a little bit tight, but I mean, how often in practice, Gabe, did y'all ever go threes versus threes? I mean, come on.
You know, funny story. When we had off weeks, when we had bye weeks, we would put together what we called the Dookie Bowl. The Dookie Bowl would be threes versus threes, fours versus threes, fours versus fours. So all the guys that were either redshirting or, you know, never really had a shot to play, walk-ons and otherwise, would play and said, you know, aptly named, fun-named Dookie Bowl. Then we would watch the film the next day, and that was honestly the highlight of the starters' year, is watching the Dookie Bowl film, seeing what guys were doing. Because most of these guys barely pay attention to the playbook. have never run these plays on a consistent basis. They've been running other teams' plays on scout team. So it breeds like a very, it may be dangerous, you know, because we are still in full pads here. But it breeds a very fun form of football to watch. Wow. Watch threes versus threes, fours versus fours.
So you're telling me this house settlement could bring about the end of the Dookie Bowl?
Well, a limited Dookie Bowl. You may only have threes versus threes. The fours versus fours, we may not have fours at that point.
A limited Dookie Bowl. I mean, that is a travesty right there. that we're gonna have limited Dookie Bowls now. I mean, just where are we going in college sports? No, that's fantastic. You know, I would love to think that you know, like maybe at one point in time, like somebody was in the Dookie Bowl and then they really balled out and then really caught the eye of a coach, and then it was all of a sudden, oh man, we got to move this guy up to the twos, you know?
Bunch of stories. I played in the Dookie Bowl at one point, so you know, you got to start somewhere. Dylan Parham, starting guard for the Raiders, he transitioned from tight end to guard. He had to play in the Dookie Bowl.
Wow.
Because midseason they transitioned him from tight end to guard. He was like 245 playing left guard. And we watched him on film. He was killing people at 245. It was amazing. No, it's no surprise he's in the league now, and he's on his third year of starting.
No, that's awesome. Well, I mean, maybe we do lose something then, if that guy doesn't get a chance to ball out. But my point is, like, you're going from 85 scholarships to 105. So I think maybe the sheer number of bodies that you're going to have on your practice field is diminished slightly, but the quality of them should be better.
Yes.
So that I think in the end, like, you know, it's kind of a wash.
Yep, 100%. Well, David, you know what? I'll let you roll. We'll leave the conversation there, and we'll catch up on Friday.
All right, brother. Sounds good.
He is David Cobb at David W. Cobb on X, college basketball, college football writer for CBS Sports. Connor, I have to say, this is very important. The Dookie Bowl used to be a highly competitive matchup. That used to be really fun. Watching those threes and those fours go head to head, and watching that film and the off week when all the starters are basically in street clothes out at practice, that is a beautiful time to be alive. It's one of my highlights. Like winning against Ole Miss 2015, great. You know, that's awesome. Being able to win a conference championship in 2014, that's great. Some of my best memories watching that Dookie Bowl film. It's nothing better, man. Sometimes you just gotta enjoy the scrubs getting to go scrap. Go scrap on a football field.
Shout out to the Dookie Bowl.
David Cobb is, of course, brought to you by Oxbow. And Oxbow is your one-stop shop for Father's Day. Skip the socks and get Dad something he'll actually use. Go get a Yeti cooler or a cooler from Oxbow at 964 June Road, or you can go online at shopoxbow.com. I'll give you more on that in a second. But go get a cooler for Dad, and if you get a cooler from Oxbow, you get free ice for life. They have an ice machine right around back, and if you show them that you bought your cooler there, you get to fill it up for free. Instead of going buying that ice at the gas station and taking that extra stop, paying extra money, no need to do that. Just buy a cooler from Oxbow. They also have Filson bags, poncho fishing gear, Genteel polos, Martin Dingman belts. They have everything for whatever type of father you have in your life. They have rugged, refined, ready to wrap gifts. You could be a sportsman, a sharp dresser, or you could just be plain up hard to shop for. They have knickknacks. They have everything you could possibly need over at Oxbow. The team is there to help, a no pressure environment, and they will show you in the right direction for Father's Day. Stop by and build a custom 901 gift box that says, "Thanks, Dad, the Memphis way." Oxbow is your go-to for Father's Day done right. You can make sure to go visit them, 964 June Road, off Poplar on June Road behind the Amoco Station is where they're conveniently located. And they're conveniently located online if you do your shopping online. Go to shopoxbow.com. That's shop, OXBEAU.com. Oxbow is anchored in Memphis. Let's go ahead and grab a break. We'll have more of the Gabe Kuhn Show coming up on the other side. Back into the Gabe Kuhn Show. 90.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Tonight FM ESPN. Now, in the NBA coaching carousel, coaching cycle this offseason, it's been a good coaching cycle for interim head coaches. The Grizzlies went that direction. The Kings went that direction. I believe the Spurs also went that direction with Mitch Johnson. But we have our first outside hire for the Suns. Phoenix Suns have hired a coach. They are hiring Cavs assistant coach Jordan Ott as their head coach. Not a lot of people familiar with Jordan Ott, but he was part of a extensive search. The Suns really casted a net far and wide. 4 rounds worth of a search included over 15 candidates who were interviewed over 4 rounds. So there is that. Jordan Ott, of course, has been on Kitty Atkinson's bench, was a big part of helping them get to that 64-18 record. Very young. I think what ultimately got him the job, not only was he on a good bench with Kenny Atkinson and had good results, really helped them along, was part of that bench that was the best in the East. But he's from Michigan State. He's got that Michigan State tie, and if you know anything about the Suns, Matt Ishbia is a former walk-on basketball player at Michigan State. Jordan Ott was a grad assistant for Tom Izzo at Michigan State from 06 to 08, video coordinator from 08 to 2013. Then he went to the NBA about a decade ago and has been in multiple roles from, assistant to video coordinator, and now he gets his first job with the Suns. I'll say this, good for him to be as young as he is and ultimately get an NBA head coaching gig. I think the Suns are in this very weird spot, though, and I don't know what coach was really, especially with experience, was willing to take that job this offseason. You've seen two guys in Frank Vogel and Mike Budenholzer completely cast it away. Monty Williams was cast away before that, and they probably just needed someone who was willing to take that job in the end of the day. Kevin Durant may be out the door this offseason. You still have Devin Booker. You have to rebuild that roster to be competitive in the West. We'll see if Jordan Ott can do that, I guess.
Yeah, and it seems like Devin Booker is definitely going to be on that team next season. I think this is going to be his 7th coach during his son's career, which is a lot. That is so many coaches to have in your career. And he was involved in the search process. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I know a lot about Ott. He has a good reputation. A lot of people think that he has a strong offensive creativity. He's pretty good at defense. Player development, he's been a big part of that. He has Michigan State ties, which, of course, we know that Matt Ishbia has Michigan State ties, so that's going to be a topic of conversation. And I'm with you. I don't think Kevin Durant is going to be on the Phoenix Suns next season. It doesn't seem like he was involved in the search process. Their original sin was probably firing Frank Vogel. He should have stayed on staff. It's this revolving door of coaches is just not going to lead to success. I wish him the absolute best. to me, the more fascinating story about all of this is what's going to happen to the Cavaliers coaching staff, because mm-hmm. they're already losing Ott, and then Johnny Bryant has emerged as one of the finalists or one of the targets for the Knicks job. That coaching staff is going to look a lot different next season
sure.
because they were two very important people on Kenny Atkinson's bench. So I think that that story is going to be really, really interesting to look at. But this is their fourth different coach in four seasons.
Yeah, and
that's insane.
If you feel like you don't know a lot about him, I don't know if anybody knows a lot about Jordan Ott because he wasn't their lead assistant.
Johnny
Bryant was that guy. This is what Shams Charania wrote. Ott has been an NBA assistant since 2012. Has a strong background, and this feels like just word salad. Let's make up something because I don't know much about the game.
Mm-hmm.
Strong background of offensive and defensive creativity, player development, and communication.
Sure.
He does everything well.
Okay.
That's why he got the job. Okay. That basically, to me, signals Shams is trying to make something up to, hey, this is what he does well, even though he has no idea. It's fair. It's fair. Now, in bigger news, Adam Silver confirmed today with Craig Carton on FS1 that the NBA will shift to a different all-star game format. They're going with USA versus the world for 2026. Obviously, the all-star game will be at the Intuit Dome, the Clippers' home floor, and it will take place the afternoon of February 15, 2026, and with the Winter Olympics next year, it'll be on NBC, of course, because we're switching to NBC from TNT going into next season. It'll be sandwiched in between the Winter Olympics, which I think could potentially give it better ratings and get more eyeballs on it. If you have Winter Olympics leading up to it, Winter Olympics after, I think that could keep people around and make them a little bit more retention. But I'm okay with the shift, Connor. But my biggest issue ultimately with the All-Star game is I don't think there's any fix in regards to the formatting of it. I think this is better than the draft and all that stuff. But in the end of the day, you just have to get guys to care more. And it's hard to get guys to care more. Maybe you could see something like with USA versus World, the NHL did their Four Nations Cup. You've seen things like this create a little bit more buzz, a little bit more electricity, more competitiveness because the United States wants to, protect their crown and their gold medal that they got in last year's Olympics. Maybe you could get a little bit more care factor with USA versus World, but I'm not betting on it by any stretch of the imagination.
You might get a little bit more of a care factor. At this point, though, it just feels like the All-Star game is a bit of a lost cause in NBA All-Star weekend. It became, in my opinion, too much of a show. They should have just kept it simple. The simplicity of it in the early 2000s and the 90s was the way to go. There's too much going on, and I think that it exhausts players. So when they actually get to the All-Star game, they don't want to just go balls to the wall because what's the point of it? There's no real incentive of playing
incredibly hard.
There's potential injury. Yeah. You're just trying to relax. I do think it's an okay idea. It's certainly a hell of a lot better than what they did last year. Last year's All-Star was maybe the worst we've ever seen. Absolutely dreadful. Just dreadful.
They did a four-team draft and let the rising stars be a part of it. It was too much.
This one has some intrigue to it. It's just, to your point, I have some doubts about whether or not the players are actually going to care. It's a topic of conversation between NBA fans, and it's a good radio segment to do, a TV segment to do, the world versus America when it comes to the NBA and All-Stars, who would actually win those games.
Well, if they were playing peak of ability as hard as they possibly can, you got USA or World at this point.
Yeah.
Who do you have? If they were playing legitimately, I'm taking World.
I'm probably taking World because it would be SGA, Luka, Jokic, Giannis.
Embiid. that's a tricky one. How do they divvy that up?
It wouldn't be Embiid anymore.
Yeah, you put him on the USA team now because he.
Oh no! I'm just saying like I wouldn't have him in the starting five.
But he's an all-star.
Yes,
ultimately.
Maybe he might be. I feel like I'm forgetting another international player.
I don't know.
I would give it to the world though. Like we just named like four of the top.
Well,
10
how
players.
Is it the last seven MVPs?
Have all been international
players? Seven MVPs have been international players, but there's repeats in there with Jokic.
Yeah. I guess Gobert might be in there. Gobert. I don't know. I'm just trying to like think of Franz Wagner.
Yeah.
He could be in there.
Yeah. I think I'm taking World.
I think I would take the World too.
Luka.
I already said Luka.
You said Luka?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because it would be SGA and Luka, and then you would have Jokic and Giannis, and then just finding that fifth guy. But
Gobert.
I feel like
if you
I don't know, dude, you could put me in there, and we would probably like they would probably win a ton of basketball games. So yeah, I think I would probably lean World in an actual game, but I don't. It's are the players going to care that much?
That's why I added the thing in there. Let's assume that they cared. For a hypothetical matchup, let's assume they cared. I'd probably take World, but we know that's not how it's going to work out. They just, I don't know. I guess the question I can't answer that I've been trying to answer in the past 5 years to a decade.
Oh, Wimby, duh.
5 years to a decade since the All-Star game has gone the wrong direction is, like, why was there such a different level of competition around the All-Star game in the 90s and the early 2000s as compared to now? They didn't have as much to do. Maybe.
I think that's part of it. I think the games are more grueling now, too. They were playing at a slower pace.
Like, because I think the old heads would say, well, we weren't friends with each other as much as they are now. And all the online relationships and being as connected as they are, they're too friendly with each other.
Maybe so. I don't necessarily disagree with that fully.
Yeah. There's something. And maybe it's obviously not just a one thing. It's multiple things all equaling out to bad efforts and not wanting to embarrass anybody.
I think that ultimately the NBA season is just a little bit more of a grind than it used to be now because of the pace of play.
And
injuries are such a big deal, so they want to relax. And by the way, it would be Wimby.
Yeah, Wimby would be.
Wimby or Pascal Siakam.
Yeah. Bench.
But could you imagine a team of SGA, Luka, Giannis is your three, and then Wimby and Jokic? Yeah, I'm taking that team.
I don't think that's crazy to say. All right. Small talk is on the way, and I want to go out to Ryan Williams, who was on with John Gruden on John Gruden's YouTube channel. He talked about the Vandy game from last year, and he didn't mince words. We'll tell you what he said on the other side. And Small Talk is brought to you by Conway Services, reputable service available 7 days a week. All right. Now, this week we have had a lot of discussion around college football and college football playoff and everything else, and we've talked about Alabama and why they were left out, and one of the reasons that they were left out was because they lost to Vanderbilt last year, and it snapped a streak of up above 20 straight matchups where Alabama had won, but Vandy was able to get over top last season in a massive, massive upset. Now, Alabama wide receiver Ryan Williams talked about last year's loss to Vandy. Of course, Vandy and Alabama will play Week 5 in Tuscaloosa coming up next season, and he was on John Gruden. John Gruden at Barstool now. He was on John Gruden's YouTube channel. He let his feelings be known about last year's game and what he expects to do them coming up in Week 5. All right. Okay, well, they want to beat him this year, and it is a revenge game. I'm sure they will remember what happened last year with Diego Pavia and Junior Sherrill, and they weren't able to tackle their tight end. There's a lot of reasons Alabama lost that game. I want to focus on what he had to say, though. Kill an ant with a sledgehammer. Is that a saying? Have you ever heard that before? Is that a thing?
I don't think so.
That's what I'd say to Ryan Williams. I don't know where he got that. I've never heard that in my life before. That's not a saying. And then I got to, and I know he didn't mean it in a literal sense. He meant it in a very figurative sense. But I was thinking about killing an ant with a sledgehammer. That is probably the worst way to go about killing an ant. You have a shoe. You can get a fly swatter. You can use your hand. You can do anything else. Killing a ant with a sledgehammer, I guess the point he's trying to make is it's overkill. We want to beat the hell out of them. I get all that. But my immediate thought is you're doing extra things, and it's going to be hard to kill an ant with a sledgehammer. You have to make sure the sledgehammer hits perfectly, directly on top of the ant. It has to hit flat on the ground. An ant is actually kind of hard to kill. You might have to take a couple of whacks at that damn ant to kill it with a sledgehammer. So I feel like this is a bad metaphor to use to explain going and beating the hell out of Vandy next year. I feel like this is the type of sound that may come back to haunt him. Now, I don't expect Vandy to beat Alabama twice in a row, year to year. But that was what came to my mind. First of all, this is not a saying that anyone knows. And second of all, killing an ant with a sledgehammer is the worst possible way to go about it, no?
I guess so. I know that there is like the saying, like, sledgehammer to crack a nut. So maybe that's what he was referring to. I feel like a sledgehammer is pretty effective against an ant. I'm going to be honest that. Yeah, I think so. I think if you hit an ant with a sledgehammer, you'd probably kill it.
Isn't there a lot more effective ways, though? You know, like there's a lot easier ways to kill an ant than a damn sledgehammer. Why do I need to get out the sledgehammer to go kill this ant?
According to Google, it looks like the ancient Roman Empire would sometimes issue a warning to potential enemies by saying that they're going to kill ants with a sledgehammer.
Okay, so this is a...
So maybe Ryan Williams, Gladiator.
Okay.
Potentially.
All right.
We have historic documentation for ants being taken. Now, if you're Vanderbilt, when you're playing Alabama, you have to do like an ant something,
yeah, oh,
right?
God. Well, they're going to be on the road, so it'll have to be like some pregame ritual thing that they throw into Alabama. So you have to, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like, watch Bug's Life before
you know,
the game.
You know, like the big signs they hold up on the sideline when they're acting like they're calling their plays? But like one with a big-ass ant on it? I mean, yeah, play into that. Play into that. Now, Diego Pavia did respond on socials, on Instagram when he saw this and said, run it to Ryan Williams.
Okay. Good response. That was a bit lame. Come on, man. You can do better than that.
I mean, he could. Yeah, there's got to be something you could do. You could play into the ant. And I hope they do that when they go to Tuscaloosa week 5.
So, you know how sometimes when you Google things, like an AI response will pop up? Yeah. The one that says, never use a sledgehammer to kill an ant. The ant will not survive.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand. Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
But neither will the ground. Thank you, Google. Yes.
Good point.
Yes.
Good point. Is that Google or is that like a Facebook post? It seems more like
this was an AI overview thing that popped up.
The AI game.
Yeah, it was like, I'm worried about the ground.
Oh, gosh. All right. Hour number three is on the way. We'll open up hour number three with my guy, Rob Fisher. He does pre and post in the Grizzlies sideline for FanDuel Sports Network. And we'll talk some NBA playoffs. That's next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand. Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.